So, as they're heading downstairs, Dave had mentioned in the first service how when he was in Georgia, he was at a service and God told him to write things down. And, you know, he obeyed and he was writing stuff down. He was saying how he didn't even hear the message. Well, as he was given that message, the same thing was happening to me. Something that has been on my heart and been wanting to share, I didn't know how to write it down until that day. That day, God gave me what I needed to write down this message. So that's exactly what I did. So with that said, this past week has been crazy, and the evil one was attacking me pretty good in the beginning of this week. For about, I'd say 22 hours, I didn't have a job. I was that upset with what was going on that I quit. Now, I have a job still. But I'm not going to get into it just because the people that needed to know. And plus, we'd be here past 12 o'clock, and we all know the Legion situation. In the midst of all this, I was going to put pictures on my slideshow because I was going to incorporate what I do for a living into this message. That didn't happen. I forgot to do it, and I blame with what happened this past week, this past Monday, when I did the slideshow. I blame what happened then and into Tuesday for not having the slides up. With that being said, I am they call it, the right term is a motor vehicle damage appraiser. Okay. I'm an auto body estimator. So when your car gets wrecked, you come and see me, I write you an estimate. Those estimates can either be for customer pays or for assurances. We do a lot of insurance work. So what I do when your car gets damaged, you bring it in, I write you an estimate, I tell you the price. If it's under an insurance claim, I tell you, hey, you need to pay your deductible, or no, you don't, just because it's from another insurance company. And then I give you a repair date, which right now, if it happens, don't come to through it all. We're out until almost November. So so I do that, and I wanted to incorporate that into this message, and I wanted to do that with these photos, and I wasn't able to. But God showed me another way as I was reading through this through the week on how to do it. So we are all imperfect. It says it in our mission statement. You know, we are imperfect people coming together and grow closer to God. I might have botched that, I'm sorry.
That's close.
So, because we are imperfect and because we can get broken, we need a potter. And that potter is God. God can mold us back together, so that is why we need God. Now, how can God fix our hurts, our problems, our damage? Well, he gave us the perfect estimate. And that estimate is right here. Everything we need to know on how to fix ourselves is in this book. Like the skilled technicians that fix these cars that I work with every day, God is our skilled technician to fix us. And as he uses this estimate to fix us, we are also growing and getting stronger. Because these technicians at Through It All, as they cut and grind and repair and fix, they're actually making the vehicle stronger with these new parts. Pretty much back to factory strength, okay? And you know, they work meticulously to get these back into spec. And they take pride, like God takes pride in all of us. The car that I was going to show, it did eventually total out. There was just some problems that we just couldn't fix, but that's hearsay, because none of us are totaled. You know, we're not dead. We're all here, and we're all here to live for God and to be a part of God's life and to be here to serve God. With all that being said, let's get into Jeremiah 18. Yeah, if you could please. Jeremiah 18, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 17 today. I will warn you during the first service, my mispronunciation of words and just not being a good reader came out, so I'm just forewarning you.
You got it out of your system.
I hope so.
Imperfect people.
Imperfect people, that's right. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as it seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. He said, can I not do with you, Israel, as the potter does, declares the Lord. Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, Israel. If at any time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, and if that nation I warned repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I had planned. And if at another time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be built up and planted, and if it does evil in my sight and does not obey me, then I will reconsider the good I had intended to do for it. Now therefore say to the people of Judah and those living in Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says. Look, I am preparing a disaster for you and devising a plan against you. So turn from your evil ways, each one of you, and reform your ways and your actions. But they will reply, it's no use. We will continue with our own plans. We will all follow the stubbornness of our evil hearts. Therefore, this is what the Lord says. Inquire among the nations who has ever heard anything like this. A most horrible thing has been done by virgin Israel. Does the snow of Lebanon ever vanish from its rocky slopes? Do its cool waters from distant sources ever stop flowing? Yet my people have forgotten me. They burn incense to worthless idols, which made them stumble in their ways in the ancient paths. They made them walk in byways on roads not built up. Their land will be an object of horror and of lasting scorn. All who pass by will be appalled and all shake their heads. Like a wind from the east, I will scatter them before their enemies. I will show them my back and not my face in the day of their disaster. That's a lot of information. It's a lot of important information. And it's important to understand what God is trying to show Jeremiah in this illustration. So we're going to take a look at verses 1 and 2. The Lord gave another message to Jeremiah. And with that, I'm just going to say God does some awesome things to show us amazing things at the right time. His timing never fails. It's always on his timing, and we forget that. Go down to the potter's shop. and I will speak to you there. Now, I'm going to go down a rabbit hole, because as I was studying this a little bit closer to kind of like fine tune it, I started thinking, what was Jeremiah thinking when God told him to go to the potter's house? Of course, I'll never know until I get to heaven and see Jeremiah. And I'm like, hey, what were you thinking when you went to the potter's house? I don't think he was nervous or anxious, just because he was a follower of God. And, you know, he had full trust in what he was going to say. And that's something that we need to learn ourselves, is whatever God says something, that we need to trust in him, because we all know it's going to work out in the end. Anyway, back to the story or to the message. Did you guys know that there are 30 words in the Hebrew vocabulary that refer to pottery? 30. That's a lot of words. Back in those times, pottery was a very, very well, it was manufactured everywhere. That was their bowls, you know, all their tools and stuff, you know, everything was pottery. So it was very abundant and it was very much needed. I'm sure Jeremiah passed that potter shop plenty of times. But this time, God wanted to use that illustration for a message, so Jeremiah could give to the people. Now, author and pastor Charles Edward Jefferson, okay, he once wrote, he, which is Jeremiah, did not get his flash of insight while he was praying, but while he was watching a potter engaged in his daily work. God reveals himself in strange places and at unexpected seasons. For instance, he once revealed himself in a stable. I want you to think about that. God talks to us every day. Sometimes we hear him, sometimes we don't. And then sometimes we think we hear God and it isn't God. That is very important to remember, that we always have to have that discernment. We always have to be trusting in God to lead us down the right path. As Jeremiah was watching the potter work, he noticed in verse 4 that it just wasn't working right for the potter. He just couldn't get the jar together right. So what did the potter do? He started over. Have you ever worked on something really, really hard, and you're putting all your time and energy into it, and it just was not working, and it was resisting you, and you had to start over? How do you feel about that? You know, working hard to make something the way you want it to be, and it's resisting you, and you have to start over. This message that God is giving Jeremiah has two distinct things that we need to look at here, and that is interpretation and application. The interpretation is national, okay, so it's dealing with Israel, but the application is referring to us. So the first thing we're going to look at the interpretation. You see, as the potter has the power of the clay to manipulate it and make it the way he wants it to be, God has the sovereign authority over these nations. So he has sovereign authority over us in the United States and every nation that's ever in the world. God isn't irresponsible or arbitrary in what he does. He is free to act as he pleases. Now, God's actions are always consistent with his nature. What's his nature? Holy, just, wise, and loving. It's crazy because some people think that God needs our advice. He does not need our advice. Nor should we criticize what he does. As it says in Romans 11:34, for who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to give him advice? So why am I saying this? in the illustration, God shows us two scenarios. The first one is if God passes judgment on a nation, but the nation repents, he would not send judgment. Now, there's a place that comes to my mind. It's Nineveh. Okay? Because Jonah came and preached to Nineveh, Nineveh repented. So God didn't pass judgment. Now, on the other hand, God promises blessings and, you know, good fortune and all that, like he did to Israel. Israel went to the evil ways, and they were, you know, idolizing false gods and doing all these kind of things. Well, now they're going to get judgment. In Malachi 3:6, it states that I am the Lord and I do not change. That is why you descendants of Jacob are not already destroyed. So God doesn't change his character or actions. So what happens? Well, in Numbers 23:19, it states that God is not man, so he does not lie. He is not human, so he does not change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried it through? So how do our futures get altered? Because in Numbers, you know, he doesn't change his mind. God has a sovereign freedom. He alters the actions that he does by what we do. So what we do is what bases him to alter those actions. Now, there's a mystery between the relationship between sovereignty and human responsibility, but we don't have to explain the will of God before we can obey it, because we as Christians live by divine promises and precepts. Now get this, we do not live by theological theories. We do not live by theological theories. Besides, God isn't obligated to explain anything to us. If he did, our minds would explode just because of everything. The secrets, they really belong to the Lord. Now, why am I explaining all this? Because this part here is the most important part. It's the application. Us. What do we do? We are what creates the nation. We as people, in a body of people, is what creates the nation. We as individuals have the ability to receive God's word or reject it. We are made from dust and have fragile bodies, but we can also resist. We as clay can resist our potter, which our potter is God. God uses many different molds, hands to mold us. Parents, siblings, teachers, pastors, teachers, friends. You know, I could just go on. I repeated one. If we resist them, we're fighting against God. In verse 11, I like how the NIV translation uses preparing and not planning, like in the NLT. And then in the New King James, it uses fashioning. Preparing and fashioning all stem back to pottery. Okay? So what's God saying here? He's ready to act against Judah unless the people repent. But like most people today, the people of Judah were chained to their sins and they chose their evil plans. They wanted to worship dead idols and suffer for it rather than worshiping the living God and enjoy his blessings. So the birds outside, they obey God. Okay? Whatever God tells them, they do. Even non-Christians today stick to what they believe in. Have you ever gotten into an argument with a non-Christian? And how hard is it to get them to turn the other way? They stick to what they believe in. So what do? We usually back down. We don't persist. So let's look at nature for a minute. Water in nature is consistent. In the peaks of the mountains, it's snow. And then in the lower levels, it's streams. We as Christians are very inconsistent. You see, we are willing to enjoy God's blessings, but not willing to obey the laws of God and govern those blessings. What if nature acted like this? What if nature is very inconsistent? Where would we be? The sad truth is, it's happening today. It's happening all around us. Look at some of these mainline churches flying their pride flags, disowning the resurrection, disowning Christian foundations in the Bible. I saw a video on TikTok about a church that burned down to the ground because there was a pastor in the church a couple days before preaching that he believes there's inconsistencies and contradictions in the Bible because it was written over many people, by many people, over like 1500 years. Come on, guys. First off, I don't believe this, and you guys shouldn't either. See, the book, the Bible, is the living word that was written by God, translated by those people to make this what it is today. The other thing that he did too, which really burned me, was instead of saying Father God, he used the word Mother. Yeah. Very contradicting. So, why am I saying this? This is what's being taught in some of these churches. It's a big no-no. We need to be walking closer to God, and we need to be walking on God's clear and safe highways of holiness. These churches, these people are walking a dangerous and painful detour because they abandoned the path of God's law. But there is a but, because God is patient, and like the potter, he is willing to remold us. And remold us again when we resist and when we damage ourselves. But we need to repent. Alexander White, he used to say the victorious Christian life was a series of new beginnings. No failure in our lives need to be fatal or final, although we certainly suffer for our sins. God gave new beginnings. He gave them to Abraham, Moses, David, Jonah, and Peter when they failed. And he can do it to us today. So I'm going to ask you guys a question. Are you guys hurting? Are you guys like a wrecked car that needs to be fixed? Have you been leading down a road of judgment? God gave us the perfect estimate to repair ourselves. It starts with prayer, reading this book, and repenting of our sins. I ask you guys, please don't leave here today if you're hurting, unless you talk to me, an elder, or if any one of you guys that are in Wednesday prayer group and are willing to help out in prayer, please raise your hand, and you can talk to any one of those. Because all of us here are a family, and what we need to do is come together as a family and fix our hurts, like the technicians do when they fix a car, or like when God does when he comes and helps us. Because today is our time to be repaired. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for this